Today's talk is the second in a series of talks that is based on Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. You heard Ray talk about that we are doing a class on that. So today's talk is based on that book as well as the principles that we teach at Centers for Spiritual Living or Science of Mind. And so last week we talked about how as human beings we have this need to belong, that we have a need to be seen and to be heard and to be known, and that the prerequisite to being seen and known and really belonging is really self-acceptance. That in our self-acceptance and in our showing up authentically, that is when we really feel seen and heard, and that is when we really know that we belong. And so today I am talking about another one of our human needs. And one more of those human needs is that we have the need to know that we are lovable. We have a need to know that we are worthy and that we are worthy of being loved. And what happens is only when we know that, when we know that we are lovable and we know that we are worthy, when we're anchored in that knowingness, then what happens is when we are out in the world and our buttons get pushed, or when we fail at something, or when we do something wrong, we can still know that even in the midst of that, we are still lovable and still worthy. So while we may have made a mistake, while we may have done something, messed up at something, or perhaps it was something like hurt someone, or hurt someone's feelings, or disappointed someone, or did something unthoughtful, or let someone down, something like that, that then does not become who we are. It just becomes something that we've done, and it's not a reflection of who we are. So Brené Brown talks about the difference between guilt and shame. And she talks about how guilt is about a behavior that we've done. Guilt is about some action. And when we feel guilty about something that we've done, like, say, letting someone down, that can then motivate us to change our behavior so that the next time we do something different. But on the other hand, if we interpret what we've done as to be a reflection of who we are, that reflects on who we are as a human being, then what we feel is shame. And that shame always makes us feel less than. Shame always makes us feel unlovable and unworthy, like there's something defective and really wrong with us inside. And so Brené Brown talks about how shame is always destructive. Because in shame, what happens is we lose the part of ourselves that knows that we can do better and that we can do differently, because we get sucked down into this emotional spiral where we can't pull ourselves up and out of it. And so that is exactly what happens oftentimes when we get our buttons pushed from our childhood. Do you ever have that experience? You get some old button pushed and you get into those feelings of being unworthy, of being not enough, of how something is somehow defective, there's something wrong with you. And so I know for me, I get an old childhood button pushed sometimes when I get sick. Because I was raised in a family where it was drilled into me how important it is to always be productive, how important it is to always be contributing. And when I get sick, I'm not contributing, and I'm not being productive. And what happens then is I get really weepy, and I get really apologetic. I'm so sorry that I'm sick. And I start feeling unworthy, and I start feeling unlovable. Is that crazy? It's crazy. Feeling like I don't deserve to be loved because I've gotten sick. Here's the thing. Every single time we have feelings of not being enough, every single time we have feelings of being unworthy or being unlovable, it stems from our self-judgment. It stems from us thinking that somehow we have to be perfect. It's based on that belief that we must be perfect. And do you remember last week we talked about, as human beings, we will never be perfect. As spiritual beings, we are absolutely perfect. As spiritual beings, there is nothing missing. There is nothing lacking. So as human beings, we are perfect in our imperfection because that's part of being a human being. And so what happens then is when we're feeling like we are not enough, when we're feeling unworthy, unlovable, it comes out of a mistaken identity. It comes out of identifying with our flaws, identifying with our mistakes, identifying with our actions, instead of identifying with our own divine essence, instead of identifying with our wholeness and our beauty and our goodness that is the divine expressing itself in us and as us. It's a mistaken identity why we get into shame and unworthiness and not enoughness. Dennis Merritt Jones, in his book, The Art of Being, says, spiritual perfection is an inherent part of each of us. It is never diminished by conditions. Our job is to cease judging by appearances and to start knowing the truth. And so we are called to know the truth. And so the title of my talk today is Mistaken Identity. And I am talking about how we are that wholeness of the divine in form, that is our very essence. I am talking about the fact that we are that beauty and that goodness of the divine here in human form, living out this life that we're living here, that we are that spirit incarnate. I am talking about when we get into that mistaken identity is when we identify with our story. And when we identify with those stories of how we've messed up or failed or not done it right, that's when we get into shame, when we're identifying with that as who we are. So I'm talking about that is the thing that causes us to feel like we are not enough and the thing that causes us to feel like we are unworthy and unlovable, as well as the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living. And this talk is really a 5-point talk about how to heal from that and how to live a life that is filled with joy. And so the very first one is when you find yourself in a situation like that, where you have done something that you are naming so terrible and giving yourself a hard time for, number one is to talk to a trusted person, to talk to someone who can hear you and love you and support you and be there for you. And so Brené Brown talks about that. She says, shame, which is really those feelings of not being enough and being unworthy, shame needs 3 things to grow out of control in our lives: secrecy, silence, and judgment. When something shaming happens and we keep it locked up, it festers and grows. It consumes us. We need to share our experience. Shame loses its power when it's spoken. So we need to find someone who can hold that space for us and not judge us and not make us wrong and not see us as a victim and jump into the victim hole with us and not try to save us, but that can just listen to us and love us and reflect that love back to us and reflect that they see our wholeness, that they see our potential, that they see who we are, that we are not the story that we are allowing to tell us and define us as who we are. When we tell someone that story, what happens is they're seeing it from a different perspective. They're not seeing it as our identity. They're seeing us outside of it. That is exactly why confession has been practiced throughout eons of time. And that is why part of the 12-step programs is taking a personal inventory and admitting to yourself and to God and to another human being your wrongs. Because when we allow our wrongs to be out in the light, what happens is the light dissipates those monsters that we've created in that story we're telling ourselves. It's like turning on the light in the bedroom and the monsters under the bed disappear. They're not there in the light. It shifts it and it changes it. It allows us to see it differently and the other person gets to see it differently and gets to reflect that way they're seeing it differently back to us. And so speaking our story eliminates that secrecy because that person sees it in a different light. That different light that they see it in does not contain self-blame. It does not contain judgment. It does not contain how wrong we are. And oftentimes when we share our story of whatever it is that has happened, the way the person sees it is much more rational than the way that we are seeing it. And so the second practice in order to live a joyful life and to heal from that not enoughness is to practice self-kindness. To treat yourself like the way that you would treat a friend. You would never tell your friend, "You're so stupid. I can't believe you did that. You're too fat, you're too old, you're too young, you're too short. What were you thinking?" Rat, 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 like we do to ourselves. You would never speak to your best friend that way. So be gentle with yourself and be caring towards yourself. Do not berate yourself. And quit being so critical of yourself and quit being so hard on yourself and quit thinking that you have to be perfect and having this unrealistic standard that you think you have to measure up to and quit being so demanding about that. I read a quote this week that I loved. It says, "Even when I wake up in the morning, I don't look like Cindy Crawford." Says Cindy Crawford. Even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford. We don't have to measure up to some unrealistic standard. We are putting that expectation on ourselves. Let go of that expectation. Let yourself be human and be kind to yourself while you're growing and learning and unfolding. Alan Cohen says, "Every thought you think, word you speak, and action you perform proceeds either from love or fear. Fear of not being enough, fear of being found out, fear of being judged. Choose love. Fear will never take you where you want to go. Fear and guilt just suck you down into the hole. Fear diminishes us and makes us hold tight. And makes us act small. On the other hand, love expands us and allows us to grow and to unfold and to try again and to bring something better forward. Love is expansive. Fear is contracting. Choose love." The third one is to recognize our shared humanity. That means that every single one of us has times when we fail. Every single one of us has times when we disappoint someone or don't do it right or whatever it is. And every single one of us has times when we feel like we're not enough, when we feel like we don't measure up, when we feel like there's something wrong with us. That is part of our shared humanity. We all have that. And we're all growing and we're all learning if we are open to that. I actually read about a study this week that there was a survey done with top CEO of that make movies, the CEOs of the movie industry, the very top ones. And one of the questions that they were asked is, "What are you most afraid of?" And the common theme throughout every single one of them was a fear that I will be found out that I don't know what I'm doing. And they've made millions of dollars. So we all have that little insecurity and that part of us that thinks we don't measure up. The fourth practice to step out of and move beyond that not enoughness is to practice mindfulness. That means simply to be aware of the story you're telling yourself and when you're telling a story. To be aware of what you're thinking instead of being in it, to be able to observe it and go, oh, here I go again with that story from my childhood about if I get sick, I'm not enough and there's something wrong with me. To be aware when you're even doing that. I called somebody on the phone this week and it went directly to voicemail and the message says, hi, I'm probably home. I'm just avoiding someone I don't like. Leave me a message, and if I don't call back, it's you. That really didn't happen, but isn't that the stories we make up? Somebody doesn't call us back, and we make up this big old story. Oh, my God, I must have done something wrong. They must be mad at me. Rah, rah, rah. Mindfulness is the thing that enables you to recognize that you're telling a story, that you're making something up. So catch yourself. Catch yourself as soon as you start that story about how terrible you are, how unworthy or unlovable or whatever the story is that you get going. And ask yourself, is this the truth or am I making this up? What I'm telling myself. And the very last tool, number 5, is to meditate. To meditate regularly. To meditate when you find yourself caught up in that story. And to meditate even when you're not caught up in the story. But when you're caught up in that story and in those feelings of inadequacy, to sit down and meditate, because what that does is it allows you to disidentify with the story. To disidentify with your feelings. To disidentify with that particular thing that is going on. And instead, it allows you to identify with spirit. To identify with your own spiritual essence and your own innate wholeness and your own enoughness and your own beauty and your own good. And allows you to touch that and to sit in that, so how big that story is can diminish and become smaller. Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says there is something within you beyond all doubt and fear, something which has never been limited by your acts or destroyed by your feeling. This is the only something that can make you whole. Identifying with that, we discover the truth of our own wholeness. So we identify with that I am presence within us. And so I invite you right now to join me in a meditation where I will lead you through hopefully allowing you to experience that presence within you. And so I invite you just to become still. And to become aware of that place within where there is perfect stillness. Here within lies the part of you that is beyond personality, beyond ego, beyond receiving its identity from the outside world. As we let go of this outer identification, our true nature reveals itself. In this silence, we awaken to the part of us that is love, unconditional. The part of us that is peace, without any attachment to circumstances. the part of us that is whole, which can never be injured. For this part of us is the divine spirit, God, the I am presence. As we identify with this presence within, this presence of the divine, all seeming injury falls away. All seeming brokenness falls away. In this oneness, there is no judgment, only love, peace, only wholeness. In this communion, spirit within whispers, "You are my beloved. I am in you. You are in me. I can never leave you, for we are one. I am the eye of your being. I am the love in your heart. I am the life in your breath. I am the all in all. You are the love of me, the peace of me, the wholeness of me, the light of me. Your essential nature is goodness itself, love unconditional. Your spirit is the very essence of compassion and benevolence. Acceptance and kind-heartedness. Gentleness and peace. You are these things, for you are of me. There is no other. There is only one. 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 And so we rest in this oneness for a moment. So I invite you to begin to bring your awareness back to this room, feeling the chair support you, feeling your feet on the ground and the air on your skin, becoming aware of those who are around you in the room, and when you're ready to open your eyes. Such a nice break to get out of our heads, huh? Gosh. And so my invitation to you is when you start feeling like you are not enough, or you've done something to feel like you are somehow not enough or unworthy or unlovable, to talk to a trusted person. Talk to someone who can hear you and love you and support you, and allow that reflection to, so that you can see you are something different than the story you have going on. And to practice self-kindness, to treat yourself like you would a good friend, to encourage yourself and be kind and gentle to yourself, and know that you can choose differently the next time. To recognize our common humanity, that we are all in this together with the same feelings and the same thoughts and the same challenges, and it's just a part of being human. And to practice mindfulness, to pay attention so that you can recognize that when you're in a story, when you're running with that stuff, and so you can stop yourself. And do spiritual practice, meditate, so you can shift your identification from what's going on to your own divine beingness that is wholeness itself. And as a result of doing those things, you'll be living your life anchored in that wholeness, anchored in your enoughness, growing and unfolding and feeling and experiencing your lovability, your beauty, your goodness, and living a joy-filled life. So blessings to all of you on this path of discovery and this path of unfolding and this path of ever stepping more fully into who you really are as a spiritual being. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer right now. And so how good it is just to pause from the busyness of our lives, just to pause from the busyness and craziness of our heads, and to turn to that infinite presence. That infinite presence that is always closer than my very breathing. That infinite presence that fills this room, that fills this city, that fills my home, that fills all of our homes, that fills this entire universe, that presence that is always present. Before time began was this I am presence. And today I recognize that it is that I am presence, that presence of beauty and of love and of goodness and of wholeness and of infinite potential that is expressing itself everywhere, in and through and around and as everything in this entire universe. Not just is it expressing there, but it is expressing as. Therefore, everything is an individuation, an outpicturing of this divine presence. And as I see that all around me, it is so easy to see it within me, that we are each incarnations of this Most High God, incarnations of beauty itself, incarnations of wholeness itself, incarnations of love and of goodness and of all that this divine presence is, we contain within ourselves because we are made out of that fabric and are of the same essence as that one. And so today I know that that presence fills our lives and it fills our homes and it fills our relationships. It fills our minds and it fills our words and it fills our hearts so that yes, indeed, we are acting as a beneficial presence in this world. Everywhere we go, we bring the love and the peace and the good with us and share it. And the reason that we can do that is because we stand in our own wholeness. Here we are, whole and perfect and complete and designed exactly as we need to be to live this perfect life, expressing our own unique gifts and talents and beauty here. And so recognizing that we are always this wholeness of God, I recognize and know that we are always enough and that we are always lovable and that in our knowingness that is reflected back to us all over the place. How good it is to know this. How good it is to be living this life from this consciousness of truth and of oneness. And so it is in gratitude that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is already unfolding itself in us and all around us. Because we have opened ourselves to that truth. And we have said yes. And we are receptive. And so I release this prayer in gratitude. And I say, and so it is.